Oh, good. I got a little lag time up here again. I don't know what's going on. I didn't think it was that cloudy, but we'll just have to try and press forward as usual. The telephone people are putting DSL in outside here. They said they'll be ready in about a month. So maybe in about a month I'll be able to get on DSL and won't have this much problem with my dish anymore. We'll see. Gonna have testimony night tonight. How you doing, Joey? I see Joey's back. How's your sound? Can you hear? You ready for a couple songs before we start? Okay, let me get him up here. Hang on a second. I didn't get my thing open. These are just two real short ditties I put up here. I like the short ones because they're real easy to learn. The easier they are to learn, the easier it is to just get in the praise, get in the spirit of praise. And sing to the Lord. You don't have to worry about learning all kinds of words. And first is called Isn't God Good? And the second one's called Get Your Mind Off of Yourself. Well, isn't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved? That's what they are. I want to praise Him, love and thank Him a little more today. And a whole lot more tomorrow. Well, isn't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved? That's what they are. I want to praise Him, love and thank Him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Well, isn't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved? That's what they are. I want to praise Him, love and thank Him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Well, isn't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved? That's what they are. I want to praise Him, love and thank Him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Well, isn't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved? That's what they are. I want to praise Him, love and thank Him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Well, isn't God good to give so many blessings undeserved? That's what they are. Love and thank Him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. So get your mind off of yourself and get it on me. Don't you know that I have come that you might be free? I've been walking around so full of doubt. Just have the faith, you can walk it out. Get your mind off of yourself, get it on me. So get your mind off of yourself, get it on me. Don't you know that I have come that you might be free? I've been walking around so full of doubt. Just have the faith and off of yourself and get it on me. So get your mind off of yourself, get it on me. Be free. I've been walking around so full of doubt. Just have the faith, you can walk it out. Get your mind off of yourself, get it on me. So get your mind off of yourself, get it on me. Don't you know that I have come that you might be free? Stop walking around so full of doubt. Just have the faith, you can walk it out. Get your mind off of yourself, get it on me. So get your mind frightened off of yourself and hit it on me. Don't you know that I have come, that you might be free? But walking around so full of doubt, just have the faith, you can walk it out. Get your mind off of yourself and get it on me. So get your mind off of yourself, get it on me. Don't you know that I have come, that you might be free? Stop walking around so full of doubt, just have a faith, you can walk it out. Get your mind off of yourself and get it on me.
Okay, well, we're going to open up for testimonies. Now, I warned you about this last week, so who's going to go first? Just raise your hand, take the mic, take your time, and just share whatever the Lord has put on your heart. I think Rich will start it for you if nobody else has any. Okay, Rich, go ahead. Looks like they're all chicken. I'll give you the mic, bro. Go ahead.
Well, praise the Lord. I did what Daniel said. I wrote it down because I don't think that I would remember everything. Basically, it's about, you know, when I met the Lord, and there's some other things that I wanted to talk about. So when I was about 9 years old, I used to have a friend who lived near me. Almost every morning I would go to his house, and his parents would have Bible studies and prayer with us, and we'd talk about the Lord. My family did not know the Lord, and we never talked about him. Well, during this time, the Lord started talking to me and revealing himself to me. I was still 9 when I went forward at a Billy Graham tent meeting in 1953. Then Billy Graham was really preaching Christ, I think, not like today. The Lord then convicted me of my sins, and I repented and asked the Lord to change me. I was rebellious during my teen years, drinking, smoking, and whatever else you can think of, and did not pay too much attention to the Lord. But what amazed me was that in all of this, from time to time, the Lord would still speak to me. I do not know if any of you have experienced this also. I finally came to my senses when I was about 27. Both my parents were alcoholics, but my mother came to the Lord before she died in 1970. I told her about the Lord, and praise God, she came to know him before she died. I had rededicated my life to the Lord a year before. I met my wife Judy New Year's Day in 1971. We were married 10 months later. We began looking for a church that we felt was of the Lord. And Judy and I ended up becoming involved with a group called The Walk. This was part of the Latter-day Rain and Manifested Sons of God movement. It was led by a so-called apostle by the name of John Robert Stevens. Daniel talks about some of these people and their deceptions in his books, the Babylon Rising series. Well, needless to say, we were being deceived. They were teaching that we would bring forth the kingdom of God in the earth, that we could walk in resurrected life without the crucified life of denying self and giving up the things of this world and seeking the high calling. Some of the teachings of this group were that we were God's manifested sons on the earth. We were his elite, God's chosen to free all of creation. But we would have to submit to their teachings in the authority of the apostles and prophets, which was nothing more than man's interpretation of the true government of God. These are all truths that the Lord wants us to hear, but were and still are being twisted by false teachers. We were in this group for 17 years, and thank God the Lord called us out of that group in 1995. Shortly after leaving that group, I met an Iraqi Jewish Christian at work. He gave me some books from a guy named Daniel Mace. The first book he gave me was called Escaping the Religious System. The Lord revealed to me through Daniel's teaching in this book the reason why he called me out of the religious system. The Lord began to show me what he is bringing in me into true sonship and a relationship in Christ, and to walk and be led by his Spirit. It's taken since 1995 until now for the Lord to work out a lot of the old ways in me, but through his testings and trials now, we are trying to walk in his word. I would like to read now Philippians 3:9-14. I think we're all very familiar with that. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and this is a, in my life, is a very important part of this scripture, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I just want to say that when I was younger, I would ponder what the high calling that Paul was mentioning in Philippians was about. Sometimes at night I would wake up thinking about these passages about the high calling. Philippians 3 has always been my favorite chapter in the Bible, and through the messages of the Lord that have been coming through Daniel, the high calling has been made very clear to me now. As Paul said, we press into the high calling in Christ, forgetting what lies behind and pressing into Christ. To win Christ is the desire of my life. I am now 65 years old, and the Spirit of the Lord in me gets stronger and stronger. I thank God for his grace and mercies in my life. Lord bless you.
Well, praise the Lord, Rich. That's a real nice testimony, brother. Thanks for sharing, man. God bless you. That's Sister Irma, you have the mic. Go ahead.
Okay, here goes. I'm not a good speaker. Public speaking was absolutely my worst class in school. But I knew if I did not participate tonight, Daniel would label me a baked chicken. Here goes. Actually, I found the Lord through Dan's parents. We were friends in and of the world, deep in sin together. Then one day a miracle happened. They attended a tent meeting, was saved, and lovingly took my hand and brought me into God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. Now, before that time, the little I did know about the Bible was all false. However, I found the truth that set me free through sitting under Dan and his parents' teachings. One of Dan's teachings that really helped me in these times were the discerning of demonic spirits. I was taught that Christians could not have demons. I sure learned that this was false. I know now that evil spirits is what Satan is using today to cause the great falling away, and in many cases, the destruction of spiritual life in God's people. This happened with friends of mine that I knew very well. They once loved the truth, but Satan deceived them with false beliefs. But I say, praise God, in spite of Satan, God will have a remnant. And I pray that all of us on this program will be part of it. God bless. Back to you, Dan, if I know how to do this.
Hey, Dan, good job, Irma. You did good. Very good. And thanks for your testimony. That's wonderful. Amen. All right, who's next? Don't be shy. Step right up. Take the mic. All right, Texas, you got the mic. Go ahead.
Thank you. I don't have my testimony written down. I wrote it down, started writing it a while back, and I destroyed it. Not my testimony, what I was writing down. But I was saved about 30 years ago as a fairly young man. I'm Rich's age, actually. But I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Didn't know anything about Christianity or religion or whatever it was that you were supposed to be. But it seemed like it was always in my life that that would be a good thing to be. But through a series of circumstances in my life, I come to know the Lord. And so all the things that I didn't know about religion, I rapidly caught up with it all, became very religious, and bought into the once saved, always saved, let Jesus do it. If it's going to get done in my life, he'll have to do it. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. And so for after about 28 years of wandering around in that type of a morass, I really ended up spiritually bankrupt. Nothing seemed to be working, and I was pretty angry with God. And through a course of events, my wife had gone to a seminar up in Minnesota and picked up a bunch of books from an author that was visiting there. And and as I was going down into this pit, I'd basically dropped out of going to church. I knew God was real. I knew Jesus was real. I knew that he loved me, but there was something, there was a disconnect in my life that I just couldn't get a hold of, and I was getting pretty angry, upset with it. But one day, one of these books was laying out, and I picked it up and started reading it, and there was a series, and so what I was looking at was, I went through book one, I went through book two, book three, book four, and it was really speaking to the problem that I had. By this time, I had no confidence at all in any man of God. I had not one person I could go to and talk man to man, face to face, about the issues that I was dealing with, and could get any kind of an answer that would help me. Because everybody I knew was pretty much in the same condition I was. Just let Jesus do it. Well, I already knew that answer, and it wasn't working. And so, but this book was starting to talk about some other things, and it was talking about the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And I began to understand that there was something that I was totally missing that was in the Word of God that I had never been able to get grasp a hold of. So I talked to my wife about it, and she'd been reading this book and sharing it with another lady that the acquaintance, unbeknownst to me, and she didn't know I was reading them, basically. And I says, hey, I think I'd like to talk to this guy. And so maybe, you know, he lives in Pennsylvania, maybe we have family in Ohio, maybe we can go up and maybe go see him. I think I'd like to talk to him. And so she said, yeah, that's pretty good, you know. So next year when we go, maybe we could plan to go to Pennsylvania and see him. I wasn't going to last another year. I didn't know how much longer I was going to last in my condition. And so I said, I worked out some details. And I said, well, do you think maybe he'd come here? So anyhow, long story short, the man came to my house, and I'll let him share his side of it, but he'd be like to do that. But from the time we met him at the airport and came down to where we live, he and I were, I was starting to just vomit all this stuff out about what I was feeling about God and all this stuff. And it was kind of like his comment was basically, maybe I just turn around and take me back to the airport. But no, you're held captive here. I'm going to keep you. I don't know if you're any good to me, but we're going to keep you here for a while. And so for that several days that he was here, and he stayed in our home, and began to share the things of God that just opened my eyes to truth. And the sharing of that word began to do a work in my life to begin to deliver me from all the things that I was carrying from my religious experience. And some of the things he shared about was the fact that, number one, I was a Calvinist. Well, I vehemently denied that. I'm not a Calvinist. And by the time I went through all the arguments, I realized that was. And so he showed me that doctrine, the evils in that doctrine, and also the fact I was living out of the old man, Adam, and not living in new man. So all the things I was looking for Jesus to do, he wasn't going to do it, because they were things I was to be doing. I was to be obedient. He was already obedient to give me an opportunity to come into the kingdom of God and be an obedient son, and not to be one that was running lost. And so through this encounter with Dan, it began a change in my life that is still working. And one of the things that's really working in me is I just see the evil, wicked result of this doctrine that's being preached in most of the churches. It doesn't matter whether they're evangelical or Pentecostal or mainline churches, is that grace message that's totally misrepresented and being taught wrong. And it just works in a person's life that they will never grow up. Here I was at this time, I was like 28 years a Christian, totally immature, a baby Christian. There's nothing more disgusting than that if you're living that life. And I was waiting for God to change my diapers and everything. And so what he wants to do is to grow us up. And so I had these pastors that I mentioned that they didn't have any answers for me because I went to them. I remember just shortly before Dan came, I called one up from work and I says, I've got to talk to you. You got time to meet me for lunch. So I shared all basically the same things I shared with Dan. And it was by the time lunch was over and we were parting, it was like, that's good, Harold. Jesus will just keep trusting Jesus, keep believing him, and he'll do it for you. And I walked away there just as empty as I came, just more frustrated. And it was at that point, actually, that I determined there's nothing for me in the church. There's nothing for me in that church. And actually, I'd been in that church longer than any other ones, and 12, 13 years. So anyhow, what I'm my testimony is this, that God's good. And I too wanted to share a scripture, and it's one that Dan recently shared with us that really has been working on us in Hebrews. It says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And that is such a powerful, powerful word, that we have not strove to overcome sin in our life. Because the message that we hear out here is enjoy the good life, kick back, relax. God's done it all for you. There's nothing that you need to do. But that word is a key to deliverance. When we strive against sin, I was sharing with a brother the other day, and he says that he wants to have that joy unspeakable. Where do I get that? How do I get that joy unspeakable? The kind that I'm just done with everything. And that is the kind of joy that comes from striving against sin, getting the victory, and having that joy unspeakable that in the midst of the battle, I have peace that passes understanding. So, praise God. Thank you for the chance to share, and I know I've rambled on, so God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing, Harold. God bless you, brother. You're my favorite basket case. There's no doubt about it. Just for the record, when I get off the plane and they pick me up, we're about 5 minutes out of that big airport there, and Brother Harold started spewing all this stuff, and I said to him, I said, hey, can you just take me back to the airplane right now? This was a big mistake, Lord. Me and Brother Harold duked it out spiritually for 2 or 3 days, and he was a rough one, a hard nut to break. God bless him. Yeah, who was the chicken then? Amen, brother. I was for about 5 minutes. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it, Harold. I am so thankful the Lord got you out of that mess. Amen. Okay, anybody else have any? Come on, everybody. We got 6 or 7 more people to go here. Don't be afraid. Step right up. Holly Dog says he'll try if it's all right. Go ahead. You got the mic, brother. Give it a shot.